Good morning, KPCW listeners. I'm Mitch.
I'm Sarah.
And you're listening to the Community Campfire here. Sarah, how's your week been?
It's been a busy one, but I'm super fired up. It's Friday.
Yeah, me too.
Do you know what day it is today?
It's Friday, right?
Right, but it's Friday, July 11th. What does that mean?
Oh, it's 7-Eleven, isn't it?
That's right. Happy 7-Eleven Day.
So excited for free Slurpees.
That's right. I spent the morning calling around to our local 7-Elevens, confirming that they will, in fact, be doling out free Slurpees. I think there's maybe a limited number. I don't know that they're just going to dole them out all day long, but encourage listeners to get out there early, get your Slurpee fix early in the day.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a perfect day for it today. I mean, looking outside the KPCW studios, not a cloud in the sky. Yeah. Going to be up to a high of 82 today, so it'll be nice and warm. Perfect day for a Slurpee.
It is. What's your favorite flavor?
I have to go with the classic cherry. My sister is a big Coke flavor girl, and I also like to mix the two and get a cherry Coke flavor.
Absolutely. Yeah. Do you know those were the two original Slurpee flavors when they debuted the Slurpee in 1966?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Wow. What about you? What's your favorite?
I go with cherry as well. Mm-hmm. One of the strangest ones I remember, I don't know how many years ago it was, but they did some sort of collab with Cap'n Crunch, and they had like a limited edition Cap'n Crunch berries flavor.
Ugh,
it was weird.
That sounds gross.
And I think they've had there's always some version of like a Mountain Dew type flavor that's bright electric green, and I avoid those.
Yeah.
My kids love those.
Yeah. Well, we were talking earlier, and you said that you and your friends, when you were having Slurpees back in the day, you tried to like to make gross flavors,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, kind of like how many weird combinations could you do and then make your friend have to drink it and get a terrible flavor brain freeze? Anyway, happy 7-Eleven Day to all who celebrate.
Yep.
It's the 98th birthday, by the way, of 7-Eleven. So happy 98th birthday to 7-Eleven stores nationwide.
And also just want to drop happy 45th birthday to us this
That's
month
right.
as well.
We continue celebrating KPCW's 45th birthday, and we have an awesome limited edition KPCW sticker that we will be sending out at the end of this month to anyone who donates $45 or more. I love to throw out the or more.
Yep.
Maybe $45 a month to the station, and you get this limited edition 45th birthday sticker that we're super excited to share.
Yep, it's a pretty cool sticker. I've seen the design. I'm very happy that it's going out there. It's definitely going on my water bottle for sure. Well, we have another great episode for you guys this week. Today, we're going to take you on a journey all the way over to Kenya, where our guest Brian Ward does fantastic work. You will hear about his work with the KUEF, that is the Kenyan Urethra Education Fund, in a special one-on-one conversation with our very own Andrea Buchanan.
And then later in the show, we have a really unique music sesh. The band is called Iron Canyon Echoes, and they brought all the sounds here to KPCW. Guitar, voice, kick drum, and even a cello. It's really an awesome mix, and we're excited to share that with you.
Yep. And before we get into any of that, let's hear from Madeline real quick.
The views and opinions expressed by the hosts and guests on the Community Campfire are their own and do not reflect the views, opinions, or official policies of KPCW, its management, staff, or affiliated organizations. The content of this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only and does not constitute an endorsement by KPCW of any opinions, products, or services discussed during the show.
This is Amber. I recently sat down with Kaya and Briley, ages 7 and 10, two sisters who've turned babysitting into a full contact sport.
You girls never play tricks on your babysitter.
Oh, we have one. Oh. Can I tell you? We sat on a chair with brooms, and you know the mouse computer mouse? We put it in the drawer and said, "There's a mouse in the drawer," and our babysitter's like, "Oh, get on the chair, sonny." And then she checked and it was just the computer mouse.
She screamed so loud when she opened the drawer.
Those kids are so mean.
I would scream that loud too.
Very clever though. They're going places, huh?
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, we are excited to share this next story. As you mentioned at the start of the hour, Mitch, our very own Andrea Buchanan had a chance to sit down with longtime local Brian Ward. A lot of our listeners will know Brian and his wife, Betsy, very engaged in the community and incredible folks here locally. But what a lot of people might not know is about Brian's career, first as a geneticist and then his incredible work with an organization that's dedicated to eliminating poverty, through education and hands-on work in a rural village in Kenya. Mm-hmm. The organization is called KUEF, Kenya Uriti Education Fund, and with them, Brian has helped build schools, provide scholarships for students, and they work with over 450 local students and provide meals for thousands of people daily there in Kenya. So we're really excited to share this inspirational story. And this is the kind of story that we're looking to spotlight here on the Community Campfire. So as you listen to Brian's story, we want to encourage our listeners, if you have a neighbor, a friend, maybe yourself, you have a great story to tell, we want to help get the word out, because this is really about sharing the great work that people are doing here in our community and around the world.
Yep, so excited. Let's take a listen here.
My campfire conversation with longtime local Brian Ward was truly inspiring. Just when you think Park City couldn't get any cooler, you meet someone like him. He's a retired geneticist who spends his time supporting people who live a world away in Kenya. The organization is called KUEF, which stands for Kenya Uriti Education Fund, which aims to eliminate poverty through education in a rural Kenyan village. There's a website, KUEF.org. I encourage people to check it out. I loved hearing about his work, and I think you will too.
We have built a school there. We have built a campus for high schools, and there's 450 students there right now. We have a feeding program that feeds 1,300 people a day.
Who's we? Who's doing this?
So KUEF is a group of six people that formed the 401(c) in partnership with the local community.
Okay.
The local community is led by two amazing people, Moses Moretti, who is the first graduate from their township that went to college, and has come back and devoted 18 years of his life to schooling children. And then there's Bishop Lawley. Bishop Lawley was the Methodist bishop who had the vision of creating this day school. We feed 1,300 people a day. We supply sanitary products for 715 students in five schools, so we can keep the girls in school. We have a total of about 350 people on scholarship. We pay about half of the teacher's salary, and we support the students, and there's also a music program.
Were you one of the original founders of the...
No, I've been associated with the group for about 10 years.
Okay.
The original founders, Beth Miller, at that time she was in Michigan, but she did move to Park City, and now she's the executive director, and she lives down near Spanish Fork. It was Beth Miller and a gentleman by the name of Gary McCluskey, mm-hmm. from Michigan, John Klein from Michigan, and then Tom Case from Park City and myself from Park City.
You know, there's so much philanthropy that goes on in Park City, right? I mean, it's just amazing how we all give back to the community, whether it's through Nuzzles or the Peace House. I mean, all these organizations that we hear about a lot, and which is incredible. Like, when I first moved here, I was like, this is like, is there something in the water? Like, how people are so altruistic. But then there's this other arm where it's like, the outreach is beyond here, obviously halfway around the world or around the world. And, you know, where do you even begin to help people that need everything, you know? So you started, and now you've helped so many.
Yeah, this is a very impoverished little village. The vast majority of houses don't have running water or electricity. The average yearly income is about $1,300. By building community and working through education, we believe that we're really trying to eliminate poverty. And now some of the students that have gone through the high school and have created or have won scholarships to college are coming back to teach at the local Katholika school, which is called Bliss, B-L-I-S-S, mm-hmm. for Bishop Emmanuel Loawe Secondary School. So it's really cool.
How do you raise money?
All donations by individuals. We are not very sophisticated at fundraising yet. We'd like to be, and we're trying to move in that direction, looking for grants and long-term endowments and, you know, things like that are so common in Park City. But we now just have personal contributions make up our budget. It's about $90,000 a year. You know, when you're feeding 1,300 kids a day. For example, one of the reasons we were feeding that many children with enriched porridge is because prior to that program, about 30% of the children that came to school were wasting, meaning they were not taking enough calories to be successful. And since we started the feeding program using enriched porridge and lunches, that wasting has completely gone away. So that's great news.
Oh my gosh, it's amazing.
The bishop had, as I said, the bishop had the original vision to start a day school because in Kenya, the education is modeled after the English, or England's model, where everybody goes to boarding school. He realized that in his township, no one could afford boarding school.
Right.
So he wanted to start a day school. Then through serendipity, he met Beth Miller, brought that same idea to Park City, and that's how we all started.
So do you consider it like a Park City nonprofit?
Park City Community Church has five groups that they sponsor, and they include Peace House, Family Promise, National Ability Center, and the one foreign project that they support is KUEF. And then about every other year, we take a trip with a group of 8 to 10 people to go to Kenya to keep our relationship alive. And people always ask me two questions. Why do you go? What do you do when you're there? And so the reason that we go is to build community. You can't have 20-year history with an organization unless you can touch the organization, know the people that are doing the work. And so that's one of the reasons that we go back every other year is just to keep that community alive. And then what we do while we're there, that's the fun part. Not only do we meet with all of our contingencies and do the business, but we do school enrichment. So we have teams of school teachers that go into the classroom and teach. So lately we've been teaching about the four seasons of the year, and we've been teaching mainly about winter because they are living 7 miles from the equator. So they don't have any idea what winter's about. So we bring snow suits, we bring artificial snow. We're lucky enough that there is a place we can buy ice cubes that's about 40 miles away. So we bring in cooler full of ice cubes and let each of the kids have an ice cube. Of course, they've never seen ice. And you put it in their hand, and they get this look in their eye of amazement that it's cold. And then they begin to touch it. At the high school level, we teach classes on genetics and do DNA extraction.
Wow. So, why?
Their curriculum is the same as our curriculum here for high school. It's not different. They are studying heredity and nucleic acids and DNA and RNA. And we found a mechanism by which to extract DNA and RNA from onions. It's a very simple, straightforward process. So we teach 450 kids in multiple sessions at school how to extract DNA so they can actually see it. If you want to learn, I'll teach you.
I would love to learn. Are you kidding? That's amazing. From an onion.
From an onion.
Like a yellow onion?
Yeah.
A red onion?
Yeah.
All the onions?
Yeah, all the onions.
Onions,
meat tenderizer, soap, salt, and rubbing alcohol. That's all you need.
Really? Wow. That is just fascinating. They must think you're from Mars or something. I mean,
they do.
Because I'm sure you guys show pictures to them and of what Park City is all about.
Yes, we do. One of the things that we do is we have a picture album. It's difficult to show them on a computer. And even though they have Kenya itself is very computer literate and everyone has a cell phone. Children in the elementary school, we bring pictures. And they just sit around and they get, whenever you sit down, you can guarantee there'll be 30 kids around you wanting to look at your pictures and see your family and talk to you about our children. It's really cool.
It's amazing. Are they speaking what language?
The two official languages of Kenya, one is English and one is Swahili.
Swahili, yeah.
We can communicate very well. They have a British accent because of their heritage, but it's not difficult to talk.
And are any of these children in need of homes, parents, like... Just curious.
So, Andrea, it's a great question because we stay at near the school at another organization, which is the Kathoka Amani Children's Home. And this is an orphanage for children who have mainly whose lives have been impacted with AIDS. Mm-hmm. And I think right now there's 63 children at the orphanage, and they have a dormitory for visiting people. And so we stay at CATCH, and what we do there is we see them in school, and then after supper, we get to play with them. So we play baseball and soccer and just have a good time, mm-hmm. and be with the kids. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a crying need for that.
It's hard to adopt, though, I know, from Africa or maybe certain countries. I know it was you could not adopt in Swaziland because, yeah. trust me, at that point in time, I didn't have children, and my husband and I were desperate to start a family. And we're just like, I will take all of everyone here that needs a house, you know, in love and parents. But it was like, nope, can't do it, you know.
Well, what's happening in Kenya is they're eliminating orphanages. The government has decided that they're no longer going to fund orphanages. So there is a program in place over the next, I think, 6 years to take all those children who are affected by AIDS and their family and put them back into the village where they came from. Everyone is very concerned about that.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a different country.
I just said love. Here's what I'm loving. The idea of the Park City, it's almost like a sister city, or what's it called when they, like, you have,
yeah,
like,
sister city, yeah, like Churchville.
Yeah. What is our sister city?
Churchville, France.
But this could also become one.
I would love that.
How would we make that happen?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's high school kids that would probably love to go from here. And do you guys take young people?
Yep. We've taken two younger people, well, really three younger people in the last two trips. When we tell people when they go to Kenya, it's a life-changing experience, and it sure is. To have youngsters who have never seen a person of white color before, and they want to come up and they want to touch your skin, and they want to touch your hair. I remember walking down a road and came across three third graders, and they had never seen anything like me before.
Were they afraid?
Yes, they were. They started giggling. And then they were afraid, and they knew conceptually what a white person was like.
Do any of the graduating students or the people that have gone through and gone on to have careers, have they ever come to the States? Mm-hmm. Would they have, okay?
Yep. We're helping sponsor Naomi right now, and she is in graphic art fashion school in Los Angeles. And we have another woman by the name of Beth who is going to nursing school in Colorado.
What?
Yeah. We have a couple of young men who want to go to engineering school, and so they're taking the prerequisites for that.
Well, you are a blessing to this community and to Kenya, truly.
Thank you. It's an honor to do what I do.
Yeah. Well, it's been a pleasure meeting you.
Hi there, this is Amber. I recently sat down with Kaya and Briley, ages 7 and 10, two sisters who treat pranks and dental hygiene like a team sport.
One time we put toilet paper in our parents' toothpaste, and then my dad actually used it, and then he started screaming at my mom because he thought my mom did it.
And then you guys are laughing. You just did that for fun, not April Fool's Day?
No, we do pranks all the time.
All the time.
Those kids.
I know.
Serious pranksters.
Incorrigible.
We should consider a whole episode just on, like, best prank stories.
Oh, I got a few in the can for sure. Well, we also have some great stories from our very own Coach Skinner with the Skinny on Sports, Bill.
Welcome in, Bill. Good morning.
Morning, Sarah and Mitch. Yeah, good morning, everybody. Well, things are actually kind of quiet out there on the local front, you know, with I guess the 4th of July holiday, kind of putting a pause on some local events. We do have some running events in town today. There is a trail race that's going to be on Rob's Mid-Mountain Iron Bill and Moose Puddle Trails. That's today and tomorrow. trails are open, but you could see some congestion out there on those trails. The Park City Trails Series does return this weekend on tomorrow for their second installment. It's going to be a 10K race that's over at Round Valley. The Moose on the Loose is also doing their second event. That's going to be tomorrow as well in the Round Valley area. That's Park City Ski and Snowboards running event for ages 3 to 14, and they have various length races based on age groups. The next races for both of these will be in August. Really, the number one story in local sports is Coach Skinner's trip to Montana for his annual golf tournament with the guys. Yeah.
Yeah, how'd you shoot, Bill? How'd you shoot?
Well, I am happy to report after completing the Montana leg of this golf tournament, I am solidly in fourth place. And before you ask, no, there were more than four people. Yes, I am solidly average and happy about it.
There you go.
All right. Well, summer events are about to start ramping back up. If you have an athlete or an event or some results that you'd like to share, go ahead and shoot us an email at campfire@kpcw.org.
And I'd like to give a quick shout out to our very own co-host, John Burdick, here on the campfire. He'll be competing in the Echo Triathlon tomorrow up at Echo State Reservoir. I will be doing the aqua bike, which involves swimming and riding, but no running. Yeah. John's doing all three. I have a feeling we have listeners out there who might be up there as well. So we'll be looking for you. I won't be anticipating we'll be sharing any results.
Well, you're both way ahead of me, let's put it that way. Over to Wimbledon, we got the men's semifinals underway right now as we speak. I just saw a result. Taylor Fritz, American, was in the finals, lost in the fourth set in a tiebreaker. So Carlos Alcaraz is advancing, and he'll play the winner of Novak Djokovic and Jannik Sinner, who are just about to get underway and might see a repeat of that French Open final, number one versus number two, Sinner and Alcaraz. That will be amazing. That's Sunday morning. And the women's finals are tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. American Amanda Anisimova, she made it to the finals. Mm-hmm. She'll be facing Iga Świątek. Amanda is seeking her first major championship. Iga is looking for her sixth and her first Wimbledon, so that's going to be really good. Mm-hmm. And the Major League Baseball All-Star Game is coming up on Tuesday. That's going to be in Hotlanta, and it's the best of all the All-Star Games because it's the closest to a real game, and the players actually do try in this one. They'll also have a home run derby on Monday night, and everyone wants to know, yes, four Astros were selected to the team. Jeremy Pena, Hunter Brown, Josh Hader, and Isak Paredes. That's your skinny on sports. I'm Coach Skinner saying, let's make it one more for the thumb. Let's get five Astros in there. Framber Valdez belongs on the All-Star team. Let's see if we can get him going. Yeah. Let's go, Astros.
Keep banging on those trash cans, man. Maybe it'll happen.
Coach Skinner wearing his Space City jersey into the studio today. So
let's go, Astros.
All right, we'll be right back after this.
This is Amber, and our final segment of the prank saga starring Kaya and Briley, we're issuing a public warning, especially to their mom. If you're listening, this is your spoiler alert for Crimes Against Chocolate Hazelnut Spread.
Well, I was thinking of doing this prank. My mom loves Nutella. She usually takes spoonfuls of it. So I was emptying the Nutella jar and then put gravy in it and then give it to her and say, here, you have some Nutella, and she'll have a spoonful of gravy instead of Nutella.
Girl.
Oh my God, gravy instead of Nutella. That is actually a really diabolical prank.
I mean, like, would it like dissipate? Would like the gravy Ugh. Like go to the top, or does it like mix in well? I don't know.
Ugh.
I don't want to find out.
No, exactly. Going back to that, mixing the worst flavor of Slurpees, you throw some gravy in there, you really upped your game.
Ugh. Disgusting. Well, Sarah, we got a nice list of stuff going on this weekend. Do you want to tell some listeners about what's happening?
Yeah, we just heard about the Strings on the Slope series, courtesy of Park City Performing Arts, happening this Saturday. Also up at Deer Valley as part of the Deer Valley Music Festival. It's the music of Paul Simon tomorrow, Saturday, with the Utah Symphony. Tonight, it's Common with the Utah Symphony. Mm-hmm. So some really unique musical opportunities. I'm excited about those. We've also got Caroline Campbell playing at Canyons Village tomorrow night at 7, mm-hmm. and Incubus with the Manchester Orchestra. This is like common with the Utah Symphony.
I know.
Incubus with the orchestra.
Well, Manchester Orchestra, a little different.
You're right, sorry. That one's at Utah First Credit Union on Saturday night, and then Earth Gang at the Gallivan Center on Saturday night. That's just this weekend, but there's so much music happening around here in the greater Park City area, in Wasatch County, certainly down in Salt Lake City, and we love sharing that with our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, you know, just like awesome music. And I do have to mention, I was back in Chicago this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I got to see a DJ that I really wanted to see called Disco Lines, and it was right next to the water with the Chicago skyline background.
Very cool.
It was so cool, and you know, just awesome to get out there and be in that summer vibe and get out there. So, you know, I encourage everyone to go out there, go see some live music. It's the best time to go see
well
it.
And of course the venues here with kind of the mountainscape in the background
ridiculous.
All of it doesn't get any better.
Yep. There's also a couple events that I want to highlight. There's a summer slide party at the Park City Library Field on Sunday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. So, you know, if you want to go do some slip and sliding down the hill there, that could be kind of fun.
Very fun.
There's also Kickback in the City at the Granary Live on Sunday from 12 to 8. And so it seems to be kind of like a whole festival type thing going on down there. Down in Salt Lake. So there's live music, art, food, and lowrider cars as well. So a nice, interesting blend of things to do for sure.
Very, very cool. And then we were talking offline about this ballpark blockbuster series at Smith's Ballpark in Salt Lake City. What is that?
Yeah, apparently they're doing some outdoor screenings of different movies over at the old B Stadium, not the new one. So the Smith's Ballpark that's closer to downtown. And they're screening Shrek tonight at the Smith's Ballpark at 8 p.m. So,
oh, how fun.
You know, a classic there as well. You know, great day to get out there and enjoy an outdoor movie for sure.
Absolutely.
Well, we also want to get into some uplifting stories, of course. You know, this is the Community Campfire, your local show. That's supposed to get you kicking off your weekend on the right note. And this one came from the Utah Department of Natural Resources, and it highlighted some citizens stepping in and helping when a woman was in trouble at the Provo River. It's our top story at kpcw.org if you want to read more. But there was a woman paddleboarding on the Provo River, and she actually got stuck under a bridge
scary.
Not too long ago. Yeah, and so there was there's this crazy body cam footage from the officer, and you can see the DNR ranger like go into the current to hold the woman up, as well as some citizens. You know, later on in the video, there's like five or six people that are in the river there, all helping out, all pitching in. And they actually were able to help the woman and rescue her, get her to safety. She was pinned under the water for a sec there. There was like, she was still like barely able to breathe. You can see in the video there, but it looked really scary, but she was wearing a life jacket, which is super important. So I'm glad that she was okay. And it was just really good to see all these people hopping in and helping a woman in need.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, water is no joke. Mother Nature, she is powerful. And it's a great reminder, if you're going out on open water, always wear a life jacket.
Yep.
You really do not know. I have tubed that river. I have paddleboarded that river. I have floated in a raft on the Provo. And, you know, You think it's mellow, and then all of a sudden things can kind of really pick up, and especially with those bridges and other variables. So the fact that she was wearing a life jacket, and the fact that, you know, Good Samaritans all around stepped in to help her is really important.
Yeah, I definitely encourage listeners out there to go check out the video. It's on our website, kpcw.org. It's the top story today. And yeah, you know, again, just wear a life jacket, and also make a plan, you know, when you're going out there, tell people where you're going. If you're going by yourself, you know, you can never be too safe with these things, and you don't want to end up under a bridge stuck by your paddleboard.
We don't want to be reporting on tragedy. We like reporting on good news.
Yes, well, it is good news. It had a good happy ending, and the woman is okay as well. So, all right, well, that is that good story there. If you have any good stories you'd like to send us, please email campfire@kpcw.org. You can call or text us too, 435-655-8255.
And I'm going to make a shameless plug again for KPCW's celebrating its 45th birthday. We want to hear your birthday shout outs, and you can use the KPCW mobile app to send us a message. It can be a news tip, or it can be just a friendly message. If you want to share your thoughts with the station, you can hop on that mobile app, use the Let's Connect button at the top there, and then there's an opportunity to record your own message and send it right to the studio. We'd love to hear from you.
Yep. Well, we had a pretty unique musical guest come into the studio for our campfire sesh here. And we sat down and spoke with the duo known as Iron Canyon Echoes. They we had a great time getting to know them and tapping into their unique style. They're a local band here, and they consist of guitar, cello, vocals, and a big old kick drum.
Have we had a cello in studio yet?
No, that's our first one.
I think this was the first one. Nice.
So let's take a listen to that interview that John and I did earlier this week right after these words. Welcome back to the Community Campfire. My name is Mitchell Elliott. I'm joined by my co-host, John Burdick. And today we are happy to have in studio Iron Canyon Echoes, Native Park City band, right here in our studio. Welcome, guys, to the Community Campfire and KPCW.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thank you. So you're Iron Canyon Echoes, but who are you really? Like, you don't sign checks, Iron Canyon.
Yeah, actually, we do. No, I'm Johnny Wasden. You may remember me from
such shows.
I actually work in Park City and live just near Wanship up in Rockport Estates. Skylar
Kirshner. We are neighbors. Johnny and I are neighbors. How we jam together in my living room most of the time here. My day job is an electrical engineer. I work for a company that does renewable energy development and utility scale solar projects.
But the history is rich.
Yeah.
We have been friends since high school in Rupert, Idaho, just like this little tiny podunk town. But we were in rival bands, heavy metal. I was in punk rock. We just kind of played all through high school, sort of went our own ways after, and eventually ended up reuniting in Salt Lake City to where we actually started another band. Got a little more serious into it. Played a lot in the Wasatch Front, full band situation. My brother-in-law, who was in the band, moved away, and so we ended up kind of breaking up again. Eventually, our paths crossed again, and we ended up being neighbors, and we're like, we got to get through these long winters. So we started playing music again a few years ago and started playing live shows.
Well, in the studio here, I'm seeing a cello and a bass drum, so I'm thinking punk metal is really the first thing that comes to my mind.
Absolutely. So
what style of music would you say you guys are akin towards?
That's a good question. We're definitely folk
kinda, adjacent.
Yeah, folk adjacent. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I've kind of described ourselves as an indie folk duo. That's like the best legitimate terms I can come up with.
I'm just learning this.
Yeah.
I know somebody.
For a long time.
So you guys have had multiple iterations of times you've been playing music together. What is it about this sort of formula that you have going on here that seems to be working for you guys?
Yeah, I think just sort of the availability of the cello introduction to the mix. I've always known Skylar's played the cello, but he used to play guitar in super low tuning and, just boom. But
new metal era.
I'm sorry. I didn't want to tread on any genre specific there. We kind of came together and we're just like, you know what? We revived a couple old songs and put a little bit new twist on them. But we've always appreciated like kind of a mountain sound where it sort of evokes nature. And we both just love being in the mountains, mountain biking, skiing. A lot of my inspiration came from local mountainy activities. Like we have a song about the blind miner, Roy Watson, Big Cottonwood Canyon. He was the blind miner. There's like a plaque. Roy Newman, that's it. The blind miner of the Wasatch, and he had lost his vision in a dynamite explosion and kept mining for like 45 years after that for silver over in Argenta that used to be a town there. That was always inspiring to me, and I'd walk right past his mine that's closed off, obviously, when I'd go backcountry skiing, and like I just would like feel, you know, the trees and the energy there, and like just it was super inspiring. Got another song about the Skinwalker Ranch, and it was before the show, so but yeah, just kind of a spooky campfire song. Yeah, I just really felt like I wanted to like pay homage to the place I live through music.
And we leaned kind of heavily into the woodsy tone of the cello. It really lent itself well to the sound and the feeling that we were going for and the music that Johnny was writing. And so, yeah, we just leaned into it extra hard. I haven't picked up the guitar in many years, for the record.
Well, we would love to hear some of that mountain sound. What song do you guys want to play for us first today on the Community Campfire?
We plan to start with a song called Uinta.
Uinta, is there background to this story?
I think I went camping up in the Uintas one time, and I was up at sunrise and just like felt like this really isolated, beautiful nature experience, like you do when you go camping. This was just particularly special to me, and just like feeling how big the Uintas are, and just wanted to like match that energy. So,
well, there we go. We're gonna hear Uinta right here on the Community Campfire. Take it away, guys. There we go. I went to the Uintas right there.
Yo.
Yeah. I closed my eyes and I could just feel the bugs coming at me. No, I'm joking. That was awesome.
No, awesome. Not at all.
Swatting music.
We are sitting down with
Iron Canyon Echoes.
Thank you. And the echo is real in the studio here. That bass drum, man. Where do you guys normally play?
Originally, we were just kind of playing friends' houses and whatnot, and just really low-key shows. Eventually, my wife actually is on the Friends of the Farm committee for McPullen White Barn. And since the city owns the property and they host the events there, we were invited to start playing music for the tours and the events, like Your Barn Door is Open, the Full Moon Snowshoe, and what have you. Initially, it kind of started out as just sort of, let's see if this is any good, if this fits. It was before we even had a name.
Yeah.
And so we started playing there, and it's obviously at the base, kind of Iron Canyon, and it's echoing off the hillside, and we're like, Iron Canyon Echoes. Okay, I guess that'll be our name. So
I like it.
Yeah, I think the alternative was Gentle Mountain Boys, but
yeah, that conjures a whole different sound.
That one, yeah.
He did. Skyler was against that one for some reason.
So you guys spoke about how you alternate between your day jobs and then doing this. How do you carve out the time and how do you make sure that it's something that you're happy with when you're playing?
Honestly, having a show on the calendar is always the best motivator for this type of thing, yeah. Right? So when I think in the wintertime, we're probably practicing more, working on new songs, workshopping stuff, and then we really get serious about it when the slate of summer shows comes up again. It's usually a couple nights a week leading right up to a show is when we practice just the most. It's
cramming.
Yeah, seriously cramming. Yeah, I mean,
literally, he's showing up at your door at like 10 o'clock at night, just knocking.
Like, do we gotta play? Like, go away.
Yeah. No, it is definitely the balance of, you know, full-time work and shows and practicing. It can be a lot and a little overwhelming in the summertime, especially most of our shows have been word of mouth. We play and then somebody approaches us for a function of some kind and then kind of builds on that. So yeah, squeezing it all in is challenging, but it's a nice way to kind of decompress and enjoy something outside of work.
Yeah, and the way that we've done most of our shows, we've done some corporate events, we've played parties by invitation, and we've always kind of leaned into the background music side of things. So it's always felt really low pressure, and that's allowed it to remain fun. Like, I think once it starts to feel like a job, it stops being fun. And so
what's the weirdest one that anybody's ever asked you to do? Have you ever done like a, I don't know, like a pet party or something? Like,
we played at a pizza parlor, the Bambino down in Midvale.
Okay.
And like you see all the Sandlot references down there, which is fun. But I don't know if that was weird, but it was just like, it was just different. You know, like they paid us in pizza and we're not really like setting like a price to pay or anything. Like, hey, we'd love to play. If you guys like our music, we'd love to play for you. And then give us pizza, and that's about the end.
Probably my favorite show, and I don't think it's weird. We haven't had any weird or strange requests, but we did play right along a creek that flows into the Provo River. Yeah,
that was fun.
It was a corporate event. They had their company summer picnic up there. They were floating the Provo River and then had a catered picnic up there. And so we set up in the woods. No extension cord could reach as far as we were going back into the woods. And so we had to bring little battery packs and
solar panels.
And we played in the middle of the forest while they ate lunch around us, and it was actually a really cool
experience. That was cool. That was super fun.
Where can people find your music and, you know, perhaps book you for a show if they're so inclined here?
It's usually through our Instagram at this point. It's Iron Canyon Echoes handle, and just message us. No job too big or too small, honestly. I played weddings before, like with the bride walking down the aisle, and it was incredibly stressful. so we've just played like for a few friends around campfire, things like that. So I think it's just, we just like
just to play. Reach out. And and then you're playing tomorrow somewhere. Where are you guys playing tomorrow?
The White Barn, McPullen White Barn. I believe it's at 4 o'clock. There's two tours. You can find the times on parkcity.org where under the facilities where you can find all the dates and the times to join the White Barn tours. And then I believe we also will be playing like the Scarecrow Festival and things like that. So all those events on that venue are listed on parkcity.org.
For the actual White Barn tours, you need tickets, but you can just wander on by and and hear us playing.
Hey man, we heard it's
pretty informal. I was going to say also, if anyone wants to hear the older stuff, it is actually still on Spotify. We never bothered taking it down.
I gotta get around to that.
At least one of the songs that we're playing here is actually repurposed from that ensemble. We were Wings of Normandy. That was our name at the time. Can't remember where that came from exactly.
Neither. It's 2011. Forgive us, please.
Yeah, we put out 10 songs on an album called Bitterroot. It has a couple of listeners a month, I think.
It's on YouTube. It's on Amazon Music. It's all over.
Nice. Yeah. All platforms. Awesome. Well, right? Thank you so much for being here today, guys. And we'd love to hear another track from you to close out the show. What do you have in store for us?
This next song is about the Skinwalker Ranch called Duchesne. And yeah, just kind of a...
Not Duchesne?
No, Duchesne.
It's pronounced Duchesne.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Sorry. Kind of a nice creepy campfire song for fall.
For the community campfire. You're going to play like creepy campfire song.
That's right.
I love it. Well, thank you guys so much for stopping by. Have a great show tomorrow. And here is Skinwalker?
Duchesne. Yep.
It's like, maybe, yeah. There's a little quotes of Skinwalkers.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, guys.
We are wrapping things up on today's episode of the Community Campfire. If you missed any of it or want to catch back episodes, subscribe on our podcast platform on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. It's called The Community Campfire.
Yep. And be sure to follow at KPCW Radio and The Community Campfire on Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. Yeah,
that's right. We have YouTube. We're radio, but we have YouTube. The Community Campfire is the Wasatch back communities' voices. So if you have a great camp story, campfire story to share, we want to hear from you. You can email us at campfire@kpcw.org.
Yep. And also send us your ideas for a band feature for a future show. We love to hear artists from unexpected places.
Yes, indeed. And hope you have a fun weekend ahead filled with music, speaking of bands.
Yeah, it's looking like it's going to be a great time this weekend. And again, thank you for tuning in to KPCW Park City at 91.7 and 88.1 and 91.9 FM, wherever you listen to us.